This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. What does it take to make us care, really care, about climate change? That's what University of Michigan researchers explored in a study that's been published in Nature Climate Change. What they found seems to refute that line of thinking that culture is the biggest factor in whether we care and are willing to do something about climate change. Joe Arvai is the Max McGraw Professor of Sustainable Enterprise at the School of Natural Resources and Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan. Joe also directs the Erb Institute for Global Sustainable Enterprise. It's good to have you with us, Joe.
Thank you for having me. It's nice to be here.
What were you seeking to learn in this study?
There's been a lot of research that's come out recently, as you pointed out, that suggests that culture is a real big driver of how much people care about climate change and how much they're willing to act. And there was something very puzzling about the findings. And the puzzling piece was that how much you knew about climate change seemed to be disconnected from how much you cared. So we wanted to look quite deeply into how people were measuring knowledge and to really look to see if it was being measured in a way that kind of made sense given the context of climate change. And then if we could do a better job, how would it stack up against how we think culture ought to inform concern?
How did your study approach this question differently?
The previous research on this subject, which is actually very good and very interesting, did two things. It didn't really measure in-depth knowledge about climate change. What it really measured was general scientific literacy in kind of a broad sense. Mm. That was number one. Number two was when they looked at culture, they were really looking at U.S.-based political ideologies. Culture, as we all know, is quite broad. It encompasses different countries. It encompasses different values and worldviews. And we wanted to see if we could find a way to capture that as well. So in our study, we looked at very specific knowledge about climate change across three different dimensions, and then we looked at culture across a variety of dimensions and across six different countries, and then used that information to see how concern about climate change materialized.
What did you find? How does that concern materialize?
Knowledge plays a very large role in how much we care about climate change and how much we're willing to act. Specifically, two aspects of knowledge stood out. One was knowledge about the causes of climate change, what we're doing as human beings to create the problem, and the consequences of climate change, both for people and the environment. What we found didn't play a role in driving concern about climate change was sort of biophysical knowledge about climate change, the technical details about sort of the mechanics of climate change, how it works, why it works the way it works. That seemed to actually dampen concern and willingness to act on climate change. The more you get into something in terms of its technical dimensions, the less we begin to care about kind of the human impacts and sort of the pieces of the puzzle that we should feel some empathy towards. So it almost desensitizes us to the magnitude of the problem.
But the kind of knowledge that you said works is the kind that strikes me that appeals to us as people because it talks about what we as people do and also what's in it for me when you talk about the consequences.
That's absolutely right. And, you know, I think that's important because as we think about educating people about climate change. And when we look at a lot of the debates about climate change, so much of it is focused on sort of the scientific minutiae, which is fantastic and interesting to study.
If you're a climate scientist.
I would think so, yeah. But it's not the thing that we found in terms of our large public samples that seemed to drive concern.
What's wrong with focusing on that cultural side? Is it because we just figure you can't move that mountain and I just have to go with the flow? I as an individual, can't change the cultural whatever it is?
That's part of it for me anyway. And, you know, my opinion on this is that, and our research bears this out, that culture does play a role. Let's not say that it doesn't. How we think about the world in terms of our worldviews, in terms of our values, clearly affects how much we care about things, including climate change. But there's, to me anyway, there's a piece of it that's kind of hopeless. You know, we look at culture as something that changes very slowly. We look at it in terms of, well, we'll just wait for millennials to come on board and start making decisions and the world will get better. But millennials aren't going to be in that position for some 5, 10, 15 years from now. For me to sit back as a policy analyst and as a researcher and wait for culture to sort of evolve, it just doesn't do it for me. I'm looking for ways to move the needle quickly and more impactfully.
And how does the often rancorous political debate we see in this country, there's that kind of perception that Democrats care, Republicans don't about climate change, which is broad strokes and inaccurate, but it causes that churning and that sense of, I can't do anything about this. So how is that playing into this?
You know, the left-right political divide certainly plays a huge role in how we think about climate change and also in terms of how governments and the private sector are acting on climate change. What I see happening, and this is what the cultural researchers do show in their work on this field called cultural cognition, is that the left-right political divide is something that you wear as a badge of honor, and you really kind of bend your decisions around how you think you ought to behave given that sort of political ideology that you ascribe to. Knowledge is the thin end of the wedge here. If we really want to get the political parties and the different perspectives in society working on this, it needs to be more than culture, and it even needs to be more than knowledge. What we need is what I term active decision support. And some of our other work, what we're finding is if you actually walk people through a complex problem by decomposing it into cognitively manageable parts, people are willing to take off that cultural badge of honor, and they're willing to make decisions in line with their values and their priorities, divorced from how they think they should decide based on what their political ideology sort of informs them. So I think what we're seeing in government, we're seeing in the private sector, is the needle beginning to kind of tremble a little bit. It's not quite moving yet. And I think it'll start moving when governments, when businesses, when the private sector start looking at building capacity in the area of this sort of active decision support that gets people to think beyond these cultural badges of honor and even beyond what knowledge begins to sort of get them thinking about.
But it gets us back to where you started, which is caring. You can't start moving the needle until people really care and become emotionally invested.
And this is why I really think this study that I was lucky enough to work on with colleagues at ETH Zurich is really important. It suggests that there is hope out there in terms of getting people to care, in terms of getting people's attention. And I think if we can just begin to do that and then couple that with some of the other strategies that we work on, you know, I think we can begin to make a difference.
Let's talk about real-world implications of your work in this study. First, for climate scientists, what are you saying to them as they try to impart the message of that climate change is here and here's what it means?
I think it's important that the science that gets done that connects climate change to people begin using metrics of impact that actually align with the things that people care about. I think what we see is crosstalk between the scientific community and the public and decision makers, where decision makers say, these are the things that we care about. These are our objectives in terms of the decisions that we need to make. And this is how we measure success and failure according to those objectives. We have this wonderful work being done that pumps out this rich body of information every day, but they don't connect. They don't match up. So people are seeing this information coming in. It's highly statistical often. It's highly technical. And people fail to see how that connects with the things that they actually care about. So my advice is ask people, you know, what is it that you care about? How do you measure success and failure when it comes to the impacts of climate change? And what can we do as a scientific community that actually fills that gap with new science, new knowledge that addresses the things that you care about?
What is your sense of the things that the public really does care about? What moves the needle for people?
You know, I think it comes down to three dimensions. One is environmental, as we all might expect. People are relatively compassionate and, you know, very empathetic about environmental concerns. So we certainly want to speak to those kinds of considerations. But as the UN is pointing out to us with their goals for sustainable development, people think about sustainability also in terms of social metrics and also in terms of economic metrics. So we need to think about how we can secure our economic systems, build infrastructure and maintain infrastructure in ways that is both viable in the long term and also resilient to all kinds of global change, including climate change. And then on the social side, people care about poverty, health, you know, security, the kinds of things that, you know, keep parents up in the evening. I don't see enough climate research really addressing those kinds of considerations. I was at a wonderful meeting in Washington, a woman from the State Department, Alice Hill, who was talking about climate change being the biggest national security consideration of our time. And to hear someone from the State Department come out and make a statement like that, you prick up your ears. It makes you think. And then you look at the data and you don't see national security really reflected in there that often. If we want to begin to get people who are on different sides of the political divide to talk to one another, I think we need to do a better job of bringing in this myriad of concerns, the things that people care about.
Talk to their hearts.
Yeah, I guess so.
Joe Arvai is the University of Michigan School of Natural Resources and Environment and Ross School of Business, and also the director of the Erb Institute for Global Sustainable Enterprise. Thanks for sharing your work and your research with us, Joe.
I was delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.